Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
Charismatic preachers out there telling you a whole lot of stuff that is not in the Word of God. And so last Sunday morning, we began a three-week series at the look at the spiritual gift of healing. And I'd like to review, if I could, and then we'll dive into today's message. I shared with you last Sunday morning that the gift of healing, as recorded in the book of Acts in the days of the early apostles, is no longer around. That is my opinion. That is my theological conviction. I don't believe that any one man like Peter or Paul today has the power to lay their hands on anyone and see them heal. Any time a healing occurred in the book of Acts or in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, two things always happen that don't seem to happen today among the quote-unquote faith healers. Any time Jesus touched someone, the person was healed instantly and totally. Instantly and totally. When Paul or Peter laid their hands on someone, they completely and instantaneously recovered their health. So I don't believe that the gift of healing is in operation today. Be sure you don't misunderstand me. I didn't say God doesn't heal today. I'm going to talk to you about how God heals today in our day and age. And then I alluded last Sunday morning to eight reasons why we Christians get sick. The first one was this. There are physical reasons for getting sick. You catch a flu bug, you catch a germ of some sort, and you're going to get sick. You have hereditary reasons, the gene pool God gave you. You're just predisposed in some instances to certain diseases or sicknesses, and these are merely physical reasons why you get sick. There are psychological reasons why some people get sick. We call them psychosomatic, mind over body illnesses. There are people who can literally will themselves to be sick. And then the third reason I alluded to last Sunday morning was so God can heal the Christian and get glory. That is one of the reasons some Christians get sick, so God can turn around and heal them and get glory. The debate was going on in John 9 among the disciples concerning why the man was born blind. And they were having this theological discussion, and they couldn't come to any conclusion, so they come to the Lord Jesus and pointed at this blind fellow and said, now we've deduced it down to two possibilities. He's blind because either his parents, while he was in the womb, sinned, or he may be sinned in the womb himself, and he was born blind. And Jesus said, neither. He was born blind so I can heal him and get the glory. In John 11, in verse 4, regarding the resurrection, the resuscitation of Lazarus, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Number four, sometimes, not often, but I think on occasion, we may get sick due to a satanic attack from the enemy. In Job 1, Job was smitten by Satan. Satan got permission from God to afflict Job. And then number five, Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 said that there are occasions where Christians can get sick so that God can give them a dose of humility. Paul was taken into the third heaven. He stood in front of the throne of God. God channeled into him some revelation and knowledge that would have puffed him up and made him proud. So as soon as he got back from heaven to the earth, God gave him a thorn in the flesh, a physical problem. It could have been his vision. It could have been something else, but it kept him humble. Number six, God sometimes will allow sickness in your life to cause you to depend on him more totally. 2 Corinthians 12, in that same chapter, Paul said, the thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, kept him closer to God. Her name was Frances Jane Crosby. They called her Fanny. She wrote some of the greatest hymns in the hymn book. We sang one this morning, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Jesus, keep me near the cross, and scores of others. When Fanny Crosby was a little girl, they put a poultice on her eyes, and it rendered her blind for the rest of her life. She had some well-meaning people in her neighborhood, Fanny did, who came over to her house one day. They were of the charismatic Pentecostal type persuasion. And they sit down with Fanny in her living room and they said, Fanny, God wants you healed. And we've come over to lay hands on you, and if you just muster up enough faith, Fanny, God will heal you of her blindness. Maybe you haven't heard the rest of the story, but Fanny Crosby, upon hearing that, smiled and she said, God doesn't want to heal me of my blindness. They said, what? What do you mean? She said, well, there's two reasons why God isn't going to heal me of my blindness. And listen to the maturity in these words. I don't know how many of us could have said this, but Fanny did. She said, blindness is God's gift to me. And that went over their heads, and they said, what do you mean? She said, well, I'm convinced that I would have been able to write none of the hymns God has gifted me to write if I'd have had my physical sight. She said, God plunged me into a world of darkness, but He called me unto Himself. And all through the years, because of my blindness, not in spite of it, but because of it, God has given me all of these songs that have glorified His name. She said, the other reason God doesn't want to heal me of my blindness is because the first thing these old blinded eyes are going to see when they wake up in heaven is the glorious face of Jesus. Now that's maturity. Paul understood that when he called whatever his thorn in the flesh was in 2 Corinthians 12 a gift. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Number 7. On occasion, sickness can be a chastisement for your sins that have gone unconfessed. David, writing in Psalm 38 after his adultery with Bathsheba, gave a long litany of physical problems that assailed him and assaulted him because of his disobedience. And then number 8, God oftentimes will make you sick and use that sickness as a vehicle to take you to heaven. Has it ever occurred to you that the vast majority of us are going to leave this world through the vehicle of sickness? Most of us will go to heaven through some sort of illness or sickness, and so sickness is a glorious vehicle for the saints of God that will take us on to heaven. Now, may I say to you that there are 3 more questions today, and here's the first one. How were Christians healed today? Pastor Bill, you said at the beginning of the message that God still heals, albeit He doesn't use the hands of one individual with the gift of healing any longer. So how does He do it? He has what I call 2 healing streams. And here's the first one. Would you join me in James 5, latter part of the New Testament? James, the 5th chapter, if you would. The first healing stream that God uses to heal in our day and age, not the hands of one individual with the power of God on them like Peter or Paul, but the first healing stream is prayer, and is found in James, the 5th chapter. There have been people healed in this body here at Boger City Baptist because of the power of prayer. That's why we have a ministry called Prayer Partners, because we pray for one another when they're sick and when they have family issues and when they have job concerns and all manner of problems. And yet in James 5, James gives you a promise here when he said in James 5, and look please in verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The power of prayer is also the power to heal. The corporate prayers of the church, not one individual like a Benny Hinn or an Ernest Angley or an Oral Roberts, has that power in their hands. But when God chooses to heal, He does it through the corporate prayers of the body of Christ. There's a second reason God does it. It is the wonderful God-given gift of medicine. I want you to listen without turning to 1 Timothy 5:23. I'll quote it. Timothy was a young pastor, probably in his 20s, and he was pastoring in the city of Ephesus. And he was about to lose his mind. 23, 24, 25 years old, and he was having all kinds of problems in his church. And he wrote Paul a letter, and he said, "Paul, I'm just about at the end of my rope." And so Paul writes him back. That letter is called 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy is Paul's way of telling Timothy basically how to do church. And evidently young Timothy, who was way too young to have stomach ulcers, probably did. He was all torn up inside because of the rigors and the stress of ministry. And Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, "Timothy, take a little wine from now on for your stomach's sake, that you may be healed." That was a medicinal quality there that Paul encouraged Timothy to avail himself of. Now, I happen to believe it was probably more of a grape juice type of medicine rather than fermented wine, because I can't imagine that doing a whole lot for ulcers in the stomach, although I'm not a doctor or a nurse, and I may be wrong about that. But regardless of what kind of wine it was, Paul was saying there is a medicinal quality here that I would like to encourage you to avail yourself of. I have people all the time come up to me and say, "Would you pray for me about this problem or that problem?" You know, we preachers are constantly receiving organ recitals from our members. They'll come up and say, "This organ's hurting and that organ's hurting. I got a problem with this, I got a problem with that." And we're glad to pray for you, don't get me wrong. But here's what I'm probably going to say to you if you come up to me and you say, "Pray for me because I've got a problem physically." My question to you will be, "Have you been to the doctor?" And if your answer is no, then I'm probably going to say, "You go to the doctor and I'll pray," and we'll kind of put those two healing streams together, because God has given us in our day and age the gift of medicine, surgeries, pills, prescriptions, all kinds of doctors and hospitals and emergency rooms, and all of these things are God's gift to us when we need it. Do you know that in Colossians chapter 4, Paul had a beloved physician? His name was Dr. Luke. And he calls him in Colossians the 4th chapter, "Not only my physician, but my beloved physician." And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're not old enough yet to have all of these problems going on with your ever-aging and ever-sickening body, you're going to find out one day that a physician who loves you and cares for you is indeed beloved. That same Dr. Luke accompanied Paul on every one of his missionary journeys. And here's the reason why Paul had Luke with him on board ship. First reason is because Luke was writing down the book of Acts, which chronicles all of Paul's missionary journeys, but there was a more compelling reason. It was because Paul stayed sick all the time. Not only did he have that thorn in the flesh, whatever it may have been, but he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3 to the Corinthians, and when he said to them, "I came into Corinth and I was with you in bodily infirmity," weakness of the flesh, Paul stayed sick most all the time. And so he had a doctor with him. Was Paul a man of prayer? Of course. Did Paul have the gift of healing? Yes. But isn't it interesting that Paul did not have the authority from God to lay hands on himself and be cured of whatever that thorn in the flesh was, because he said in 2 Corinthians 12, "Three times I begged God to remove the thorn from me," and Jesus said three times in response, "Paul, what part of no don't you understand? I am not going to heal you. My grace is sufficient for you. And so while Paul had the gift of healing, it was not the will of God that he be healed of his thorn in the flesh. And so he lived with that physical infirmity all the days of his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to Timothy, and it's the last letter he would ever write. And listen to this. Paul said, the only person with me in prison right now is Dr. Luke. Even in his waning days of life, Paul, getting ever increasingly sick and feeble, had his medical doctor with him. When I go to visit people in the hospital, I always pray two things. Number one, Lord, bless the physician who attends to the case of this, your child. Yet we acknowledge you as the great physician. They're in the hospital. They are under a doctor's care, which means they believe in the first healing stream of medicine in our day and age. And they also want prayer, which is the second healing stream. James reminds us in James 5, confess your faults and sins one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so I ask the great physician to touch them as well. Who is it that gives the doctors and the nurses? Now, I've met doctors with a God complex. They're everywhere. They think they're the fourth member of the Trinity. And yet the kind of doctor that God is going to honor and bless is the doctor who knows that all of his wisdom comes from an even greater physician. Who gives the doctors wisdom to heal? It is God himself. Who gives the scientist the wisdom to come up with the drugs and the medicines we have to keep us alive? It is God and his power. And so the second question this morning is this: are all Christians promised healing? Well, to listen to Benny Hinn and some of these name it and claim it charismatics on television, you'd believe that it is a blanket promise for every Christian for physical healing. That is not the case. That is a blatant lie. In John 5, 1 through 9, Jesus came by the pool of Bethesda. We won't turn to that passage. But in the first verse of John chapter 5, when Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda, it says there was a great multitude of men and women, lame and blind and physically infirmed, lying around the pool. How many of those people did Jesus heal? One of them. Not all of them, not some of them, not part of them, one of them. I wonder why he didn't heal them all. Could he have? Certainly. Here's why he didn't. Because it is not the sovereign plan of God to heal every Christian who is sick. If faith was the only criteria, listen to this, because Benny Hinn made the comment years ago, he made the comment that if Paul had mustered up enough faith, he too could have been healed of his thorn in the flesh. Now that's bordering on blasphemy, amen? If faith were the only criteria to get healed, Paul would have been instantly healed of his physical thorn in the flesh. There's something even more compelling as a criteria for being healed, and it is the sovereign plan of God for your life. And it may not be the sovereign plan for God to heal you or your loved one, your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, of their sickness. Only one was healed. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Heal me, Jesus. No. Heal me, Jesus. No, Paul. Jesus, would you heal me? No, it is not my plan. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. I want to just read this to you again. It would take too long to turn there. I've got too much to say and not enough time to say it, but we've all established that Paul had the gift of healing. But listen to what he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:20. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus, sick. Paul said that. I couldn't bring him with me. He was sick and I left him in Trophimus. Paul, I thought you had the gift of healing. Paul would say, I do. But he couldn't heal Miletus or Trophimus. He left him in Miletus sick. And the reason why was because it was not God's sovereign plan to heal Trophimus. Why wasn't my loved one healed? People asked me. They had cancer. They had all kinds of physical problems. And I prayed and I begged God to heal them. And God didn't do it. Why? Because God had a better plan for them. And number two, because God gave them eternal healing. Do you remember what I told you last Sunday morning? When God doesn't heal your loved one and he takes them to heaven instead, he had a better plan. And I'm going to tell you, folks, heaven is a far better plan than staying here. I hear people say this all the time, and they're only half right. When someone passes away, and I hear this over and over and over at funeral homes among people gathered around in tiny knots in the funeral home, and you can walk by them and you can hear them say, they're in a better place. That's only half true. If they're quoting Paul from Philippians 1, they left out one word. Listen to what Paul said regarding heaven. It is far better. It is not just better, it is far better. And so heaven is far better than planet Earth. And so the reason God didn't choose to heal your loved one is because it was time for them to go to heaven. And then the second reason he didn't do it is because he wanted to give them eternal healing. Heaven is eternal healing. It's the ultimate healing. Okay, third question. What about the faith healers? Listen carefully as I close by telling you that many of them are phonies and charlatans. Do you agree with that? Yeah, you've got enough wisdom to know that. We do. We've not been deceived by these people. In fact, if you'll listen to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, Peter said, in the last days there will be men coming along who will willingly deceive you. And listen to what he said about them. They will make merchandise of God's people. They're in it for the profit. They are false prophets in it for the P-R-O-F-I-T. They're going to milk you of money. They're going to merchandise you. They know they are frauds. And they are perpetrating fraud on the church. People stand in line for hours waiting to get into these venues, these auditoriums, these coliseums, these churches, waiting to be healed. And the man doing the quote-unquote healing is a fraud. Secondly, there are some of these men and women who sincerely believe they have the power of God in their hands to heal. They really believe they've got that power. But I'm going to tell you, if any healing occurs of any Christian who is sick, here is how it is going to happen. The healing streams of prayer and medicine. Now, I told you earlier on in this sermon that we've had people healed in Boger City Baptist Church. We've seen them healed here. But you know, the vast majority of the time when God chooses to heal one of His children, now there are times when He will heal by prayer alone, without any medication, without any doctor's visit, without any sort of surgery. God can do that. But I think we would all agree 99.9% of the time when God chooses to heal someone, it is through prayer and surgery, prayer and medication, prayer and a visit to the doctor. That is why Dr. Luke played such a prominent role in Paul's life. If people are healed, they're healed through prayer and medicine. Thirdly, let me tell you what they teach. Now, you have to listen very carefully to me. This sounds good. It is a lie. Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts and Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and on and on the list goes, taught and do teach that bodily healing was a part of the atonement of Christ on the cross. That He died not only for your sins, but for your sickness. That isn't true. Again, that sounds real good, but would you listen to me? Jesus died on the cross for one thing and one thing only. He died for your sins. Turn to Isaiah 53 and let me show you where they get this heretical doctrine that Jesus not only shed His blood to save you of sin, but He died on the cross so that all of your physical sicknesses could be healed. It is in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And notice what Isaiah the prophet said in verse number 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we were healed. Now in Peter's epistle, he quotes from Isaiah 53:5. And if you read Peter's epistle in context in those verses, Peter will tell you what Jesus healed you of. And it wasn't physical sickness. It was sin sickness. The greatest sickness you bear before you come to the cross is sin sickness, not physical infirmity. And Peter said, when Jesus bore your sins in His body on the tree, the stripes that He was beaten with healed you of sin sickness. And so Isaiah said, with the stripes of the Lord Jesus, we have been healed of the sickness that is going to send us to hell if we don't get healed of it, and it is sin sickness. Now, would you look at verse number 4? I heard Benny Hinn, not too many weeks ago, quote Isaiah 53 in verse 4, where he made the case, or at least tried to, that Jesus died to heal you of your physical sickness on the cross. And this sounds good. Surely He has borne our griefs. Do you know what that word griefs there in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament means? It means sicknesses. And so you wouldn't be off base if you translated Isaiah 53:4, Jesus bore, B-O-R-E, your sicknesses. And the natural conclusion would be that He had to have done that on the cross. That's what Benny Hinn said. Benny Hinn said, not only did Jesus bear your sin on the cross, but He bore your sickness. And if Christ bore your sickness on the cross, then every one of us have a blank check to be healed of whatever sickness we have. Benny Hinn has one major problem. I'm going to be kind when I say this. He doesn't know the Word of God. That's as kind as I can be. Turn to Matthew 8. Benny Hinn does not understand the Word of God. If he knew the Word of God, he would never have made such a ridiculous statement as Jesus died for your sickness. Isaiah 53 says Jesus did bear our sickness. There's no dancing around that. The question is, when did He do it? Look in Matthew 8. I wish I could talk to Benny. I wish I could just have 2 minutes with Benny Hinn. I don't mean to come across arrogant, folks. I don't mean to at all. But if Benny would just study the Word of God, he would understand that Isaiah 53:4 was fulfilled in Matthew 8 and not on the cross. When was this prophecy that He would bear our sickness fulfilled? It didn't happen on Calvary, but look at Matthew 8. In verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed. What's the next word? All. Not some, not a few, not one or two. All who were sick. And yet it is not the will of God that all be healed, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He took our infirmities and He bore our sickness. Jesus didn't die on the cross for your sickness. Isaiah 53:4 was fulfilled right here when He was healing those who were sick. Here's another lie. Many of these faith healers will tell you that all sickness is of the devil. And if you're sick, it's because the devil is attacking you. Now, that is true on some occasion. Job chapter 1, God turned Satan loose on Job, and Satan plagued Job. But do you know that eventually and ultimately all of your sickness can be traced back to the Garden of Eden? Sickness comes because of what Adam and Eve, our father and mother, did in the Garden of Eden. And because they disobeyed God, all of our bodies are tainted with sin. All of our bodies are prone to illness. Sin in the heart brings sickness to the body. But not all sickness is of the devil. God gave Paul a gift of a physical sickness, a physical thorn in the flesh. Not all sickness is an attack of the enemy. Sometimes it's God drawing you closer to Himself, or chastising you for sin, or just giving you a gift that will cause you to rely more on Him. He may cause you to get sick so He can heal you and you can praise Him in return. But a number of years ago, when Suzanne and I, this was long before we adopted Monica, we were vacationing in Gatlinburg, and that Sunday morning before we got up to come home, I turned on one of the religious channels, and there was a faith healer type who was preaching in his church, and here's what he said. Listen to these words. Just about fell off the chair I was sitting in when he said this. He said, God never makes anyone sick. All sickness is of the devil, all of it. Well, at the end of the program, they were scrolling the credits, you know, cameramen, and this ministry is brought to you by such and such a church. Then they gave the address of the church, and I got a little pad and a pen, and I wrote down the address of the pastor, and I wrote him a letter. I just had to do this. All sickness, he said, is of Satan. God didn't make anyone sick. And I said, dear brother so-and-so, would you please explain 2 Samuel 12:15? Had he taken the time, I'm not sure he did, maybe he did, but had he turned there, he would have read these words regarding David's son born from his union with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 12:15, God struck David's son and he became sick. Nothing about the devil in there or a demon, just God. God did it. Never heard back from that pastor. Never took the time to write me back. I think I know why. Now, they also teach that sickness shows a lack of faith. And if you are sick, you don't have enough faith to believe God for healing. Are you going to tell me Paul lacked faith? Of all the men in the Word of God, Paul lacked faith when he said to God, would you please heal me of this thorn in the flesh? And here's what Paul came to the realization of, that God had a greater purpose behind the sickness, and God was going to use him in a more powerful way than had he been healed. Fanny Crosby said, and I quote, blindness is a gift. It allowed me to write all these hymns for the glory of God. That is maturity. Immaturity says, heal me, God. I demand that you take this sickness away. Maturity says, no, I'm going to look at God through my sickness and determine that God has a greater purpose in the sickness. I would say this to you as well. There are some healings, and I'm putting these words now in quotation marks, healings that are psychological. Some of these people who go to Benny Hinn's crusades, they think they're healed and they're not. You know what I told you last Sunday morning? Some sickness is psychosomatic. It's mind over body. You can will yourself to be sick. Now, see if this doesn't make sense. I thought about this studying on Monday for this message, and it makes sense to me. I want to propose to you that if you think you're sick and you're not, you might think you're healed and you're not. If you can be psychosomatically sick, you can also be psychosomatically healed. And by the time you get to the parking lot after the Benny Hinn crusade, you're sick again. I believe in psychosomatic healings as surely as I believe in psychosomatic illness. May I close by telling you that everyone Jesus touched, and I'm kind of going back to my original comment at the beginning of the message, everyone Jesus touched was healed instantly. And totally, that is not the case with these faith healers. These quote-unquote healings are neither instantaneous or total. And the reason why they are neither instantaneous or total is because they don't have the gift of healing. When somebody had the gift of healing in the days of the Word of God, in the days of the early church, the healing was instant and it was total. I challenge you to find me one person Jesus touched that wasn't completely healed. Everyone Jesus touched, everyone Jesus met, He changed them for good. Now, Jesus chose not to heal everyone, but everyone He touched, He healed. And would you consider this in closing? The Benny Hinns of the world, I'm not just picking on Benny, anyone who claims to be a faith healer, have you noticed something really interesting? Every one of them minister in a controlled environment. Oh yeah, they have the venues of the Colosseums and the churches and the auditoriums and the big tents. But every one of them who claim to be healing folks, heal folks in a controlled environment. That ought to be a red flag to you right there. I wonder why you don't see Benny Hinn at the VA hospital walking up and down the hall laying hands on these veterans who have given so much for our country, healing these men. Why don't they go to the nursing homes and the children's hospitals where children have cancer and all manner of diseases? Why don't they walk up and down the halls of these places healing? Why do they only heal in a controlled environment? Listen to Luke 9, verse 6. Jesus went everywhere healing. He didn't just heal in one place. He didn't just heal where He could manipulate the smoke and the mirrors. He healed everywhere. Here's another thing that ought to be a red flag. Benny Hinn and all of these faith healers talk about all the people that have been healed in their crusades, one after another. Wonder why rarely, if ever, do you never hear about a doctor's verification about the healing? That's a red flag right there, folks. No doctor's verification. Nobody coming and saying, I had cancer and the cancer was consuming my body, and here are the x-rays, and after Benny Hinn touched me, I went back to the doctor and here are the x-rays and all the cancer is gone. I am not saying God doesn't heal. I'm saying He doesn't use one man to do it. If it's going to happen, it'll be prayer and medicine, that combination that'll do it. Listen to what Jesus said to the leper in Luke 5:12. The leper was healed of his leprosy. And here's what Jesus said to it. Jesus wasn't afraid to tell him to go and have it verified. Do you know the priests back in those days were trained to determine when leprosy had been cured and healed so they could give glory to God? And so Jesus said to the leper, now I've healed you, there's no question, but I want you to have that verified. You go to the priest and have him verify that you once were leprous and no longer are. You don't hear that coming from the faith healers. You don't hear about doctor's verification. John tells you in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, to beware because not all are of God. Try the spirits because so many are deceitful in our day and age. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to some of these people on television. They're going to stand, according to Matthew 7, 21, in front of the great white throne judgment one day. And I'm not judging who's saved and who's not. All I know is that Jesus said on the day of the great white throne judgment, there will be people to stand before His throne. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, in Your name did we not do many wonderful works? And those works were really smoke and mirrors, deception, illusion. Not legitimate. And the Lord of glory is going to look at him and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. Next Sunday morning, we'll dive into James chapter 5 and talk about anointing with oil. Do we do it in our day and age? What's that all about? Let's bow our heads together. Every head bowed.